paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
We got 3 days off here for sure. Get a couple good practices in us and kind of, like I said, shore up some things defensively. It's probably some things we'll work on. But, pretty crazy start to the season, you know, having two on the road and then coming back-to-back for your home opener. Playing some good teams, too, so get 5 out of 6 every 3 games. So be pretty happy with that.
Patrick Kane nearly served up some magic for a third straight game for the Blackhawks to open the season. It was not to be, as this 3-game stretch for the Hawks ends up with a 7-6 overtime loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it is after that game on Sunday night here at the United Center that Scott King and I join you for this latest edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Just watching that, I was out of breath watching the end of that game. How are you holding up here? We're about 90 minutes or so afterwards.
Wow. Well, let me just say first, happy birthday to my wife, Nora. I'm glad to be here for this overtime.
How do you like the new job, Scott?
You know, here's the thing. I feel like I got hit by a car. But, WGN, my deadlines, you do whatever you want. Get in whenever you want. No, I do whatever I want. And my other outlets I write for, can you get it to us next week? So I'm friends with all the deadline writers here. I've always wanted to do it. And I love doing it now. And now I have a 13-goal game with overtime under my belt. I was able to get everything in. NHL.com is awesome editors. Kind of moved some things around and made it really easy on me. But, there's just something in the air today. On the way upstairs to the press box, I bumped into one of the cameramen who was holding a cup of hot chocolate.
Oh, good.
And he burned his wrist, and he's not filing charges. So just one of those days. But this game was insane. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, it was dizzying there at the end. And but overall, do you get a sense of what we just heard Patrick talking about? Do you take the same attitude? And I know Troy did in the post game show with me. Is that you go into Thursday night in Ottawa, you go into that season opener, looking at this opening sequence of games at St. Louis on Saturday, the home opener, the quick turnaround and the travel on Sunday amidst all the red carpet, amidst all the emotion, the Stan Mikita ceremony. In the end, the Blackhawks, and their fans are probably disappointed that they couldn't put the Leafs away, but you'll take 5 out of 6 points when you're looking back going into the sequence of games.
Yeah, I think 5 out of 6 for your first 3 is great, especially when you have a lot of questions about your lineup in terms of defense. And, Crawford's still targeting the October 18th return. Cam Ward had to make 3 starts in net. And, I think part of that was Quinville right in the hot hand. But like you said, the pregame ceremony, and it's not just a pregame ceremony, they're also announcing the players. It takes a little longer than usual. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Canadian national anthem, too. So, yeah, they traveled, they had the red carpet, then they had all that stuff. So it was really long. I'm sure they're very tired traveling. And just watching the games, I thought the Senators looked better than everyone thought they were going to be. And the Blues are obviously a very good team. And the Toronto team's a very good team. So they got to be really happy with where they're at. You can see some holes and some gaps that need to be filled in defense, but the Blackhawks right now, they look like a team that just come out and jump on people.
Yeah.
And it's more kind of persevering as the game goes on and shoring up those gaps, because I think they look like a good team. They're hard to play against.
Well, as long as you brought up the defense and goaltending, let's hear Joel Quenneville's reaction to it after Sunday's game. So you have 14 goals against here in the first 3 games of the season. It ain't a pretty number. And let's hear what the head coach had to say afterwards on how he's looking at things here after coming away with a 2-0-1 record after the first 3 games, albeit with 14 goals against.
I'm not complaining about the goaltending. I think the quality, the quantity of chances in the games have been higher than maybe past years. I just think that there's defending as a group of 5, an awareness of that factor. Quickness to people when they have pucks in their own zone. We can kill plays faster or eliminate possession. Something we've been trying to improve upon and be continually looking to get better at. And it's an everyday process with us, D-zone coverage, where we can get more predictable and more consistent.
So Joel Quenneville knows, aside from the special teams, which definitely need some improvement. Good teams find ways to improve during the course of the season, and that's going to be real important for the Hawks, not only on power play and penalty kill, but also in defensive structure. I'm not sure how much different things are if you're slotting in a Connor Murphy and Gustav Forsling, who are still injured, you know, how they compare to, you know, comfort level, communication, you know, defensive structure, how much better the Hawks are. But they definitely need to be better, find a way to be better in that particular area, and it's something they need to work on. And as far as Cam Ward is concerned, maybe over the course of these first three games, there was maybe three, possibly four of the 14 he would have wanted back. You know, the one power play goal in Ottawa, that's one he definitely want to have back. Maybe one in the Blues game. And I'm thinking maybe one in this Toronto game as well. If you dare go into the dark hole of social media, which I haven't done, but I know the fans out there are all ready to point the finger at Cam Ward. And yes, he can be better. I'm not sure if he is a number one goalie anymore. But with things looking encouraging for Corey Crawford's return, there's a big final step he's going to have to take in order to be ready for Arizona on October 18th. But, you know, these are things where the Blackhawks still need areas improvement. You're excited about the 2-0-1 start, but there's definitely still things that they're going to have to raise their level on if they're going to stay in this territory.
Yeah, well, hopefully they only have a handful of games till Crawford gets back. And if that's the case, if they keep scoring like this, I'm surprised that streak finally ended tonight. Now
it saves Kane's
44-1-0 in their last 45 games, and they both score a goal. So if they keep scoring, and other guys, you had Brandon Manning scored his first goal with the team. So the defense, they have the issues we've talked about, but at least they're jumping in and contributing offensively. Yoki Haru got three assists tonight, the youngest Blackhawks defenseman ever to do that. And getting back to Cam Ward, I do kind of admire how mentally tough he is when he allows those ones, and a lot of time they're early in a game that he wants back. He almost reminds me of Crawford when Crawford first came in the league, first couple seasons, where he'll battle back the whole rest of the game to try to keep the team in it. So they keep having these high scoring games from everybody, especially led by the captain and Kane, then they should get a handful of wins. So while they wait for Crawford, they should get some more wins here.
It's just too simple for fans just to point the finger in one direction, because it takes a village on some of these mistakes. Going to have to start out games better. They've allowed 7 first period goals here in the first 3 games, getting better starts. But let's also keep in mind the talent that was on the other end of the ice there. I mean, there's some high-end individuals on that Toronto team, Matthews and Tavares among them, and they were Exhibit A tonight, and just how talented they are as we record this on Sunday night. But on the other end of things, you can't be any more happier from what you're seeing, especially with the captain, the way he has started this season, the way he has bounced back. I'm not sure if it's something he necessarily needed, but it's certainly a shot in the arm if there has been any waning confidence, as others on the outside have looked at Jonathan Toews with his dip in production the last couple of years.
I think the team needed it. This team needed it to see that, for him to lead by example and just know that he can play how he used to play, whether it was, you know, just doing more conditioning and workouts in the summer, right? Because he looks so much lighter on his skates and he's scoring like he used to. Or if it was overcoming and getting enough rest to get over some injuries. So whatever it was, he definitely looks like his old self. I mean, this is his best career start. And is it going to last? Is he going to score every game to the end of the season? Of course not. But there might be some dips here or there, but I kind of feel just 3 games in, I feel like he's going to have a really good season.
Yeah, and he seems to be meshing really well with DeBrincat and Cahoon, who, even though he got his first 2 assists on Sunday night, that line has really played well together. Front and center, it's the captain right there in the middle doing so many things, but that line has really played well, all 3 guys contributing to the captain's success, or the other 2 guys contributing to the captain's success. I want to go back to Yoki Haru, too, because I think it would have been a reach to be as pleased with his play heading into this season before these first 3 games as we now find ourselves. He has looked every bit the part of not being 19 years old and handling everything in a cool, calm manner. And I think this is a real keeper here. And, you know, you hate to see them being so reliant on Keith and Jokke Haru, because that's by and far, far and wide, the best defensive tandem right now. They may have to lean on that until they fix up their defensive structure a little bit. But Jokke Haru, I don't think any of us expected this, as confident as Joel Quenneville's been about him throughout the preseason, and as confident as Jokke Haru himself has been.
Yeah, I knew he was going to be good. I thought it would take a while. I know he was going to be this good. And then right away, when you start talking about him, my mind goes to, okay, who was the last prospect that became a rookie that was this good, that lived up to the hype? And then you say probably Artemi Panarin. But he was 25 years old.
Right.
Jokke Haru is 19 now. So, that's great. Tavo was pretty young when he came here, but it took him a while. I think he's kind of with Carolina reaching his potential now. So, I can't believe how good Jokke Haru has looked in every aspect of a defenseman in this league, this fast, highly skilled league now. His game, every part of it is great.
And now let's turn to Corey Crawford, and he has a week under his belt of practicing with the team. The way these two eyes look at it, he's looked really good, much better than I expected, because it seemed for the longest time until, they reached this point in his recovery, it was like goaltending 101 all over again when you were watching his workouts, individual workouts with Jimmy Wade. It was the simplest of things. It seemed like he was trying to relearn. But now that he's back out on the ice with the team, so far, so good. He's looked really good in those practices. Joel continues to rave about his view on things and how Crawford has responded. And now there is this last box that they have to check with throwing him in a situation where there's movement in front of him. They ramped that up a little bit late in the week before they left for Ottawa. But now being around traffic, bumping bodies, and I think over the course of the first three games that the Blackhawks have played, I saw three pucks go off mass. I think Craig Anderson took two off mass, and Jake Allen took another one in the Saturday night game. So these are the final steps that he is going to have to prove in order to cross that finish line.
Yeah, they're going to take their time with him, as they should. I mean, he's the most important part of this puzzle for this team and their possible success. It was great to see him on the Jumbotron. They announced him before the game. When they announced the whole team, I thought he looked good. I'm sure he's happy to be here, and the fans really let out a big roar. So I'm sure it was a nice moment for him.
At the red carpet event, they all started chanting "Corey, Corey, Corey," probably about as loud as an ovation that there was, other than Jonathan Taves's. So fans are anxious to see him back. We're all anxious to see how he responds and how close he is to the old Corey Crawford after this long time out. I had a chance to talk with Stan Bowman last week. It was last Tuesday, leading up to the season opener. We played part one of an interview in which he talked about Corey Crawford during our Saturday night postgame show. I wasn't able to get to part two as planned on the Sunday night edition, where he talks more about some of the individual players on this team, especially up front. And we're going to play that on Thursday's postgame, but since we didn't get around to it Sunday night based on the Wild game and the kind of game it was and how long it lasted and all the highlights that we had to run in our post-game show, we're going to provide that for you now. And the first guy that Stan talks about here is Jonathan Taves and how he attacked his off-season based on the dip in production that he's had over the last couple of years of his career. Jonathan's only 30, but like all the core guys, the accomplishments come with mileage, too. Do you think in seeing some of the, especially the offensive production regress over the last couple of years, that some of the mileage has caught up? And I'm sure part of his, and he's come out and said part of his offseason training is adapting his body to what the NHL is now compared to even when he came into the league, right?
Yeah, things change more than people think. I think, you were pretty close to it, but when you kind of step back and analyze where the game has gone in the last three or four years, it's much different. It's really a speed, quick playmaking game, more so than it was earlier on in his career when it was probably more of a power game. And I think Johnny's looked great. I think he looks energized. He looks like a different player than a year ago. I mean, I know he trained very hard and trained in a different way, prepared himself. He looks like he's added some quickness to his game. He looks like he's got a little bit more speed, and he's elusive on the ice. And those are all skills that are really prominent in the top players of today's game. So I think You know, he still is a really competitive guy. He's great on faceoffs. He's strong. So I don't want to say that he can't play a power game, but I think he's focused on some of those other skill sets that are really apparent if you look at the top players around the league. And I think he wants to become one of those guys again. And just, you know, the first couple weeks here, I've been very impressed with the way that he's come in and the way that he's played.
What did you see when you watched Brandon Saad last year?
Well, his production was certainly off compared to previous years in terms of putting the puck in the net. When you look underneath the surface a little bit more, he did a lot of good things. You know, he really did. He played at a high pace. He had the puck a lot in the offensive zone. His conversion rate was abnormally low. So, you know, it's one way to look at it is, boy, he just had one of those years when things didn't go your way. You don't want to leave it all to chance and say that that's simply going to turn around, because it's not likely that he's going to be that unlucky again. But I think there's an element to that. Like, I think his production was certainly off, but when you watched him play, he did a lot of good things. I mean, he's got really good speed. He's a big, strong guy. He does go to the net. He had a lot of opportunities in the prime scoring areas, and he didn't convert them. Whether some of that is, you know, not getting a shot off quick enough, if it's little things, or if it's, you know, hitting the post, goalie makes good saves. You know, we're looking for a rebound from that perspective. I'm not sure he has to change his game dramatically. We want better results, for sure. But he did a lot of good things, and now we're hoping some of that can translate into more production.
Good stuff from Schmaltz and DeBrincat last year. What do you expect from them now that they're on the league's radar now?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge for both of them, particularly in Alex's case. I mean, Nick had been here some the year before, so he wasn't totally new to the league, but I think his role on the team was higher last year than his first year. And Alex, I think people were not sure, is this guy going to be able to get through the first year and, you know, to be leading our team in goals, such a young guy. Obviously, he opened some eyes around the league, so they're going to get more attention this year. And I think the challenge for them is to not be satisfied with where they're at in their career. Like, we want both of them to take that next step and go from being a good player to be a difference maker. And that comes with consistency. The biggest thing for me is, even if you look at Alex's year last year, he had some real hot streaks. You know, the hat tricks, and, you know, he scored. He was really productive. And then he had some stretches where he wouldn't score at all. So I think for him, taking the next step is going to look, you know, mostly like he's a threat game in, game out. And his production might not change. Maybe he gets a little over 30 goals, and you say, well, but if he can sort of be a threat every night, that's probably going to be a step in the right direction.
Well, they got an example in 88 with how he works on his game. And, you know, all of a sudden I've blinked, and the kid who was living in your basement his rookie season is going to be 30 years old. But with his type of game and his devotion to it off of it, he's 30, but there's probably another 10 in there in him, right?
Yeah, Patrick is one of the rare players that seems to be getting better every year. I mean, you look at where he's at today, and he's a better player than he was 3 years ago. And that's not too common for players that, you know, he's not old, but I think he's sort of unique in that he keeps adding different tools to his skill set. And I think he's going to have a great year. I mean, I look at his impact on the game. He's got a lot of those things we referenced a little bit earlier as far as playing at a high pace, making plays. He's a creative player. Those guys are having a lot of success around the league, and he's at the top of that list. So he doesn't show any signs of slowing down. He really pushes himself every summer to be better with his preparation, his training, not only, you know, physical training, but just his skill set. You know, he works on his shot. He works on his stick handling. He works on his deception and, you know, being able to escape pressure. So he builds on his game year after year, and you know, we're excited for what could be with him this year.
Dylan Sakura looked like a guy that could be penciled into this lineup at the start of the regular season. Were you and the coaching staff kind of on the same page in terms of how you evaluated his preseason and the decision that maybe it's best for him to go down and start out with the IceHogs?
Yeah, Dylan's there's a group of probably four or five guys who you could make a good case that they all could start in Chicago. You know, we've got, I thought Alex Fortin had a good camp. Victor Edsel, Matthew Highmore, Dylan Sakura, and maybe one more in the mix there. So there's some guys that could easily be playing our first game. You know, they're really close. And I would be very surprised if all those guys don't spend some time in Chicago, whether it's through injury or even without injury, if it's based on performance of guys that are here. So just because they're in Rockford to start doesn't mean that they're not still a big part of it. I thought Dylan had some really good moments in camp. He had some good moments in Traverse City at the rookie camp, and he's not far from being a guy that can make a difference. I would expect him to help us this year at some point, and until that happens, he's going to get an opportunity to play a big role on the team in Rockford to start the season and get a lot of repetitions in offensive situations, power plays. You know, he probably wouldn't get that ice time to start the year here. So nothing wrong with getting his game going and being ready when the time comes.
It's a different outside world looking in this year than it has been for the past decade based on what happened last season in terms of how people expect you guys to do. A lot of naysayers out there. Do you welcome this? Do you embrace it even though you don't want to necessarily be thought of that way?
Well, I've learned over the years that, you know, the expectations are created outside our team. We have our own set of expectations, and that's really what we're focused on. I'm not just, obviously, understand the passion of our fans and the media, and, you know, there's a lot of interest, and everyone wants our team to do well, which is great. I wouldn't want it any other way. We're not trying to lower expectations, but we got to focus on what we can do, which is to be prepared, and we've got to. It's not going to be easy. We have a lot of we have a tough division, and we have to be ready right from the outset. And, you know, like I say all the time, there's going to be surprises this year. There's going to be teams that perform better than expected and teams that disappoint. And I'm not sure which teams those are going to be. It's hard to know. Every year there's teams, when you look back on it, you wouldn't have expected that to be the way it played out. I think we were in that category a year ago. Finishing the way that we did, if you were talking a year ago at this time, that wouldn't have been an expectation internally or externally. So there are things that change, and I think we have to stay focused and determined to really come together as a team, you know, more so maybe than we ever have in the past, because individually the players have to be at their best, but I think, you know, individual players don't make a team win. You have to be you have to accept your role on the team, and you have to excel at that role. And I think it may not even be the role that you would paint for yourself, but the teams that seem to have guys that buy in the best have the best chance of having team success. This is a team sport. It's not an individual sport. You need your individual players to play at their best, but at the end of the day, they've got to play their roles, and they've got to take pride in being a team. And I think that's something that I've had good discussions with our players. They understand the value of that, and they're going to push one another to be competitive right off the start of the season and stay focused that way.
Our thanks to Stan for sitting down with us. We hope to visit with him mid-season as well, and then perhaps as we go toward the end of the regular season. But that last topic he touched on seems to be something that's been embraced to various degrees within the locker room. Some guys are saying, okay, no one's picking us to do anything last year based on what we did last year or didn't do last year. No one's picking us to do anything this year. And others are saying, yeah, why not? If it takes an us-against-the-world attitude, we'll throw that in there as well. And it's something they can definitely use. And I think so far, based on the start and how some of the stars have performed early on here, whether they're actually using that as a tool to inspire themselves, the results have been really good so far.
I think it's, yeah, a great tool to use as motivation. There's no motivation like having something to prove. And I think that's the position the whole team finds himself in now, especially the veterans. I think Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, I think they care very much about their legacy, as much as Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith do. Just a personal thing, and I know they're still part of a special group in terms of the core and the guys who've won the three cups as a team, and they want to be remembered as guys who continued to play hard throughout their career. And yeah, I think they're just still trying to show they have something left in the tank, and they could be star players still.
Yeah, and there's still a couple of guys who, you know, we're still waiting on Brandon Saad a little bit right now. He has one assist through the first three games. There's still a very high ceiling. There's room for growth with some of these individuals. Duncan Keith got his first 3 points of the season the other night against Toronto. So, yeah, with the way some of these guys have answered the bell, it'll be interesting to see how they mesh as they go along. So, now we're done with this. You're done with your recap. Tell us a little bit more about some of the detail that you have to get into on these NHL.com game recaps.
It's a nice challenge, you know, because I'm used to doing my own kind of thing. But I enjoy the challenge of it. You have to describe every goal. You have to throw interesting stats in, which is nice to kind of pay attention or surf the web or get notifications about it. Some interesting stats. I like numbers and all that. So yeah, you get a lot of info with the NHL.com work I'm going to do. So go ahead and check out the recap. You'll get a breakdown of all 13 goals.
You're the John Weideman of the written word after the fact.
Fly. No, listen to John. Get it as it happens. And then if you want to relive it all, read my words, my very dry but useful words. And what I'm going to do this season is supplement what I do on the Chelsea blogger as more of a column, so opinion there. And then you get numbers in the game breakdown at NHL.com.
All right. Well, we'll be back with you. I don't know whether we'll be back early next week as well. They got a couple games coming up here against Minnesota. Then they're back against St. Louis on the Saturday night game. So it's part of the St. Louis beginning of the season, three times in the first 11 games. So you will receive a notification of when we have our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast if you are a subscriber. You can do that by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Leave a review for us as well. Follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. For everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog, and follow me and Scott on Twitter. I'm at Bowden Tweets. Scott is at Scott King Media. Thanks as well to Joe Romano once again for gluing and taping and pasting this thing together for presentation to you. And we want to thank you for listening once again. For Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. We'll talk to you next time as the Blackhawks start out 2-0-1, 5 points in their first three games of the season.